It's 7 o'clock.
Log Talk Radio.
Where would we be without Mr. Computer to tell us what time it is?
For real.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone who is and isn't listening. This is The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. And to bring us into this evening's conversation, we'll start out with a tune. How's that sound, Nick?
Sounds great.
Around you, and you will see who you are on a clear day. How it will astound you that the glow outshines every star. You'll feel hot at every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, ever.
I gotta tell you, something wants me to say, you know, hey, and coming to you live from the Holiday Inn Lounge.
That song is exactly how my day felt. I was like, this is perfect.
I'm not sure who we have online, but we do have a caller from the 901 area code. Who is it? Hello. Okay, somebody called in to listen, I guess.
Cool. Nice.
that's cool. Anyway, so yeah, I love that song. The Peddlers do it really well. But it really is. It's like going, well, live from the Holiday Inn Lounge in beautiful downtown Manhattan.
Yeah. Not a bad vibe. Why not?
Yeah, you know, so the tips are in coins.
That's right. Clink, clink.
How you doing this week?
I'll be very interested to see to hear what you have to say about what's going on this week, because, you know, I was sick for the last, like, 5 days, but it really felt like a washing machine of releasing all kinds of things, like mentally, physically, emotionally, things I hadn't thought of in a long time. And then today, I felt like I was a walking lounge singer. It was great. It's like a total turnaround. So that's my point.
There's a lot of polarization going on right now, and that's the way the planets are wagging. We're coming in to a full moon here, and it's generally called a harvest moon, but it's also called a blood moon, I believe. And I did give Flash Silvermoon a ring, asking her if she got in on time, if she'd call in a little of the astrological, influences for us this week. But I do know this much. This weekend's full moon going into the month of October here on the 29th is also an opportunity to put your energy out there for prosperity, more coins in the bank. It's traditionally a moon that you make yourself known to the energies of the universe for reciprocity, you know. I'm putting this energy out, bring it on back, you know. So everybody put your tap shoes on, grab your top hat and cane, and give it your best show, because the universe is watching, and with a reciprocal nature.
That is great to hear.
Well, it's good advice. It's good advice at just about any time. Also, I'd like to bring up, there's this wonderful, and I've mentioned this before, this is a really wonderful writer and thinker. Her name is Denise LaFay. She has this blog over at WordPress. That's deniselafay.wordpress.com, and it's called Transitions. And she posts some pretty good stuff. And this week she posted polarized thinking of sudden or gradual, and I thought it came to bear. You want to hear what she had to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I occasionally go online. Now, she occasionally goes online and asks her higher self, what do I need to be aware of right now? And she's sort of, it's sort of like, you know, and I do it. I don't know if you do, but I have.
I do it.
I absolutely do that.
Use
Grass by Walt Whitman. My book now is Letters from the Cosmos. You know, just for guidance, you open that book. A lot of people do it with the Bible. I think there's better fiction to pick from myself, but She goes online and does, and after she asks herself, she's usually impulsed to go to some site, some website, even one that she doesn't know exists, yet she's quickly and easily led to it. Well, yeah, it's called Google. But she does this when she senses and feels ascension-related beliefs, concerns, confusions, and questions building in many people out there. And I think what she's doing is she's pulsing the consciousness of the planet in a way, because she's pulsing the internet. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see? I began reading this and I went, wow, that's pretty good, because we're all talking about how the internet actually is the consciousness of the planet. And here's this gal who's out there actually telling us, well, yeah, and I go and I pulse it. So to help her find and connect with what she's feeling, she'll ask her higher self to lead her to whatever information or website that she needs to be aware of in that moment, and how to aid her with what she's feeling and what she's going through. And she's sharing this process, I think. And she did it the other day, and that's where this post comes from. She's feeling escalated concerns and questions, plus plenty of other things like fear, guilt, anger, resentment, doubts, confusion, etc. We're talking the negative polarity there. Building energetically in fields throughout this whole year. Well, I think we could say that that has been happening. It's also been some pretty positive, groundbreaking energies out there, too, from my perspective, you know,
absolutely,
on a world. So what her higher self immediately led her to was some kind of information talking about what evidently has been termed sudden or gradual. And she doesn't know who all nor or is it important where she was led to find this material, but this article, sudden or gradual, question is not an attack or an insult directed at anyone or anything or any group. Basically, she's just looking for some information to lead her or guide her in the moment with all of these ascension-related concerns. And she came upon this, you know, this sudden or gradual. And the information was about confusions that people are having over whether the ascension process will happen suddenly on December 21st or it will happen gradually over many years after that date.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to stop reflecting there because I heard you were going to speak, and I want you to say what you had to say and ask you what you think about that too.
Yeah, well, it's funny because me, myself and my friends do, like, we call it like YouTube surfing. And I do it to find, when I'm searching for an answer, I just start putting in words that I think and look around. And it is amazing how it really just jumps out at you these days. Like, I've learned so much of the information that explains even words that you've used on the show that I didn't know. Like, everything is really connected. So that makes perfect sense. And with the gradual, I'll let you go with the gradual, say what you were going to say about ascension being gradual or not before I jump in. Let's see.
it's typically, this is about duality and polarity thinking and awareness, you know, light, dark, hot, cold, you know. I will go on with this. She certainly can understand why many people perceive things this way because they're still using the old familiar duality tools of awareness where everything is wholly one polarized way or another polarized way, like black, white, sooner or later, sudden or gradual. And, you know, I get it because I know I do it. Confusion and wars, etc., arise with this tool of awareness because much more is always going on than what polarized thinking can perceive. So I think what she's saying is that, and we've got more to read here, but I think she's saying that nothing is sudden or gradual. The answer to this important question is really so easy, simple, normal, and natural. If you can function from unity consciousness instead of polarized duality consciousness. So what she's doing, I think, is she's bringing up the idea that it's not just about planetary consciousness once again, which we kind of lose sight of because we're enjoying a planetary consciousness. We really are. but we're not remembering that Christ consciousness, that unified consciousness, you know, that new sphere tapping, the Akashic, as we were talking about before. You know what I'm saying? Nicole?
All right, wait a minute. Here I am. I was saying, that's funny that you knew I was saying something, and yet my phone was unplugged. Amazing.
Okay, Nicole. Scared. I came to the invisible here.
That is so cool. what was I going to say?
Well, I was saying that, you know, we're all enjoying this planetary consciousness so much.
Yes.
And, you know.
I remember. Yeah, that and to tune into it that way, like thinking about it in that unified unified meditation and energy. And that's a new thing that just came. That's I'm starting to, I can feel it, what it feels like more than ever, even though it's a very new feeling. Like, I noticed with the gradual or quick, a lot of times it's like I'll kind of get something for a while, and then all of a sudden it all clicks in, and I go, oh, okay, so now I understand. I've been to this energy enough, or it all has sort of collected itself, and now I get it. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I thought about that too, and I thought, well, you know, great little lesson, and our good friend Trish's in the
hey, Trish.
Room. And she actually, here's how we can get polarized with easily with our planetary consciousness here. She posted a very cute, smart-assy kind of comment in a post in the Roundtree 7 Journey Room on Facebook. And I kind of went, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I'm posted somewhere? And I totally had it out of context and did not see the wink, wink, nod, nod on it, you know, which if I had been actually plugged in to the freer thought flow or unified consciousness, which is a possibility, I would have probably flowed right into what she was joking about, you know.
Huh.
And just a small, I used polarity, duality instead. But I used it in our wonderful tool of planetary consciousness here on the net. The unified consciousness or unity consciousness, for me, it's a lot about working past my own blockage like that. That was one example of how, you know, I'm polarized, and I went straight to a sort of a defensive posture instead of allowing and opening up. And then on the other hand, I have my moments of unified when I think I work hard to find people who will cooperate with each other, who are maybe not agreeing about something but have the same moral values or are working towards the same goodness. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's the other side as well. It makes perfect sense.
I think we're challenged to do it right now. Mm-hmm. So much. You know, we have a lot of wonderful people that are so awake right now, and they're aware of the subtlety past, you know, all of the, they know the truth of what is going on. Most of them are in the streets. A lot of them are in the, you know, in the ashrams and the, you know, meditation palas and the healing chambers and all
sure.
of that. But,
they
you
might
know,
as well be right here, though, because I feel like they can feel all of it.
Yeah, you know, when OWS was going on, there was a whole section of Zuccotti Park that had people who were into meditation and yoga and the booga booga side that you and I represent.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, all of the awake, enlightened folks are working with some pretty hard truths out there, especially in this season of, you know, I think we have to begin to, I have begun to look at it, and I'm wondering if you have. I'm beginning to wake up to something else, too. I'm thinking that nationalism is an abuse of people. I think it's a tool.
It's part of the machine, absolutely. It's putting these imaginary borders that you said and saying that they mean something, and usually what they're saying it means is it's us against them. It's never us and them. Then you wouldn't have the line, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, inherently.
And part of unity consciousness has to be reaching out to the people that we have never understood or they have never understood us. And saying, you know, hey, listen, and we do it over the internet. My God, my friend Sabina in Pakistan, hey, they're going through a lot of crap over there right now. And a lot of it has to do with the United States bearing down on them. And she and I talk, and she's like, you know, I wish we could get rid of our lousy leaders. And, you know, we're awake. We realize that it's not the people who live and the culture of Pakistan, it's the people who are in control of all of the systems that are in place to bring some sort of cooperation to where, you know, folks get their electricity. And I'm starting to sound like, you know, and I actually am a radical. I know that. I'm not a raving radical, but I'm a radical.
If that's anything to you.
You can't be spiritually awake right now and not be a radical. That's my truth. You know? That's my Course in Miracles.
I don't even see it as radical. I see it as, you know, the truth and then everything else. But I understand another point of view. I'm sure it looks like a crazy radical.
Yeah. Well,
it depends on where you're sitting.
Well, then, and I listen to people who are radical or anarchist, and they're saying, you know, we have to get rid of these dirty bastards who are, you know, killing the planet and marginalizing people for money. And, I mean, what better mirror to hold up to the United States of America than Mitt Romney? I mean,
I mean,
the fella, you know, just went out there and said, well, hey, I don't give a damn about them poor folks. It's just fuck them. It's like, and I think unified consciousness is the... Well, here we go with dualities and polarizations, but unified consciousness is basically the antithesis of that kind of behavior. It's saying that the value is in humanity over profits or money or bigger mansions and faster cars. And, you know, with all of the recycling of lifetimes that each of us has done, we really need to wake up to it, because we've been, as Mr. Sinatra used to sing, you know, a butcher, a baker, a pirate, a clown, a cook, and a king. You know, we've been it all. And on the female side, just turn that over. You know, the polarity and the duality, those are our tools, because that's who we are. That's endemic, I think, in our spirituality, who we are. We are male.
Absolutely. And the fact that if... Why do I keep losing my train of thought? Wait a minute. To think about that in ourselves, like we have been those things. And I realized with myself when I watch certain things, and, you know, I never identify myself as a bad guy. Like, oh, well, I wasn't that, you know. And it's like, well, now, wait a minute. You know, at some point, you were. And you had to have been. You have to have had that experience. And if you really think about it, you know exactly what that is to be the bad guy. Sometimes you can totally relate to the bad guy and you can understand them. And I think that's part of that unity consciousness, is to also understand these other parts of yourself. It helps to understand the other parts of this world.
And, yeah.
And I think with that consciousness, then, you know, because then it really is all is forgiven, because you understand that it's all part of its own plan, and it has to be in order for the other to exist in the duality consciousness, you know, and then we can move on to unity consciousness.
Yeah, well, and that's shamanism 101, you know.
Yeah.
It's always the way I wag first. But it's nevertheless 100% true. And to go on with Ms. LaFay's treatise here, she said, well, big word, Gwen, treatise, geez.
Testify.
Ain't we up? Not. Well, anyways. If you can function from unity consciousness instead of polarized duality consciousness, that's the big question. And this isn't her bragging, but sharing how easy this is once you're able to, even just a little bit, elevate or ascend your awareness out of the lower frequency duality range and up into a higher unity, or as she's called it, the frequency range of high heart consciousness. And you know what? She's really got a point here. We keep getting the message over and over again that it's about coming from our heart, being in our heart, and working from that. You know, and I think that our heart is where we absolutely know here we go back to some polarization. Our heart absolutely knows right from wrong, good from bad, and what's right or good for us and what isn't. It knows. If we don't put anything in front of it to screw up the process, like an emotion that begins to, you know, doubt, our heart does know. I think being in the heart space is the big thing we've got to learn. And I was listening to Louise Hay a couple of days ago, a video that she has out. I put it over on the Daughters of Isis page on Facebook. And basically she was saying, you know, some of the lessons that she finally went aha with and woke up with were, you know, coming from the heart, you know. Which, by the way, is always self-reliant and self-protective.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of us are working right now. I can't see how you couldn't be working there, because no matter what's going on, it's a very emotional time, and especially with the duality of the male and female inside each one of us, that's also coming into a balance. But, you know, if you've ever met your male or female counterpart, it's very confusing. And even if you have, you still have to learn to integrate all of that, because nobody's walked around with both balances for lots and lots of years. So, you know, all of that, everybody's got to be going through the heart. I mean, I realize that's what a lot of, especially recently, a lot of my meditation is about. And when I look for what else do I need to do, the same thing as Faye and you, you know, what else do I need to do to raise myself up and to enjoy my life the most? And it always comes back to some sort of cleansing of the heart that I've, you know, either forgot about or whatever. And it works. You feel lighter.
Yeah. Well, and there's really great anchors that we have that can bring us into our heart. And, you know, there's that old saying, we are always somebody's angel. You know, it's like, have you ever met an angel? Well, of course you have. Look in the freaking mirror, you know. You look out from the car and you see a bus next to you, and there's this old gal sitting in the bus, and she looks just vacant as hell. Woe be gone. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she looks down and sees you, and you smile with genuine affection and care, and it shifts her whole day.
Being.
It shifts. Yeah. And that is angelic behavior.
Absolutely.
It can be as simple as, you know, yeah, of course, you can catch somebody walking at the wrong moment off the curb and grab them back and be
right.
The big time savior. But you can also be the person who opens the door for the old fellow with the walker at the bank and smile when doing it. I saw, I think it was an insurance commercial that alluded to this kind of behavior, and I thought, whoa, man, they were smoking some reefer in that agency when they came up with
meeting.
I mean, that was elevated thinking there. But it's what it is it's coming from the heart. It calls to humanity, and again I say we are looking for our humanity back right now, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
In the streets, we are in the streets for it. I don't know how talking heads and politicians can miss it, that the people who are doing the real living and dying and making a country run and work every day and go to a school and teach children or go out and raise the flag in the harbor and sit in the lightkeeper's, you know, lighthouse or, you know, put the groceries onto the shelves. I don't see how anybody doesn't realize that this is what makes the world go round. And for the most part, these are the people who get down into the streets in Egypt and the 70,000 Greeks who, with all of the handicapped out in the front, walked to Greek Parliament yesterday to say, no, you will not fucking take money from us and tell us that we're going to live miserable lives because you can't govern. You know?
Well, I think they know. They just haven't had to care up until now. But, you know, now is when we're standing up for all of it. So it's only a matter of time. It's the critical mass you're always talking about. I understand it more now. It's one of the things where it was, you know, gradual, and then finally I heard it and I was like, oh, that's what Gwen's been meaning. I always got it as concepts, but I didn't really understand it as a feeling, I guess, or a vibration, if you will, I guess. But that's where we're going. I understand. It's the monkey with the potato and the sand. Like, we just have to realize that all we have to do is wash our potatoes instead of
sitting out the hundred,
with each other, you know?
Yeah, the hundred monkey. Well, it just keeps, and it all year long, it from September to September. Oh, my God, I'm going to break out in song again. to September, we have been going through this incredible people in the streets, humanity saying, wait a minute, enough. and all over the world. It's happening in China, too. You get little peaks of it here and there. It's happening, of course, in Japan. And the media keeps this pretty much curled back from the larger awareness. It's still lots of angels in the streets. When 70,000 Greeks, I mean, do you know how big Greece is?
Yeah, not big.
I mean, really, it's one of the most gorgeous places you'll ever go.
Yeah.
It's got a feeling to it that makes you, it's at once ancient and yet it's comfortable and here and now.
Yeah,
and
yeah. My grandfather's Greek. I understand the Greek very
well. It's but 70,000 people in the streets. Saying,
that's,
no,
that's like most of the people.
Wow. And then in Madrid, Spain, big time, thousands and thousands of people. What is wrong with the United States that Occupy gets only so many out of a community into the streets? Is it because we're so big, do you wonder?
I think that's part of it, and I also think that it's not hitting all of us like that, and I think it is because we're so big and, like, everyone's kind of going on their own thing, you know? I mean, some places, I'm sure, probably need to be doing what Greece is doing in this country, but it's not the whole country, you know? I think that's why.
Well, and like I said before, though, I mean, gee, take a look. If ever there was a mirror, it is Mr. Romney and his behavior as a candidate that says, you know, wow, gee, really, people? I mean, really?
Well, and I have to say that, you know, I went to Greece, I think it was 2006, right, when they were building for the Olympics. It was three or four. And I just remember, like, this terrible feeling, like, in Athens. Like, I loved it as a little girl. I remember the feeling very well, and it wasn't there. And I saw that a lot of people were really nasty, and to the point where one day I was just so flabbergasted at, like, the way that I was being treated by, like, the hotel concierge. Like, it was amazing. That I just shut down, like, went upstairs and cried. And I was just like, why is this so upsetting to me? I'm a worker. Like, I have the thickest skin. Nobody bothers me. Never have I cried from anyone. Why is this so upsetting? And now I'm starting to understand why. And I think, and another thing that I realized when I was there is that they hadn't done anything. Everything was about what the Greeks had built 2,000 years ago and beyond. Nothing was for now, nothing was for the people, and the way that they were building these buildings, like, I was like, oh, they have 2 years, wait a minute, they have 8 months, like, they have, like, three poles up, and they're just kind of hanging out, like, just the way everything was run, you could see it was a disaster, and whenever the Olympics was, I mean, that was a long time ago, it's Olympics in Greece, and now I can see it, it's like it's coming to fruition, but everyone needs the wake-up call the way that they need it, don't they? You know, and I think that's why in America, it's like New Yorkers really, we can't relate at all to, like, you know, certain parts of the country. It might as well be a different country to us.
Well, Greece in the 80s became very much, and the 70s too, but in the 80s, Greece became the Cayman Islands of the IMF over there for operations. And basically, this is not the Greek people. This is
right
as it is here. Corrupt leadership.
Now I also understand why they were so angry because the ship was already fucked up. I mean, now I'm starting to get it. You know, they had this, like, you know, anvil on their back.
Well, and now the point is a unified consciousness. As far as going back to Miss LaFay's, you know, post here, about sudden or gradual with ascension, and it's both. It because we do not escape polarity, it is our growth. It's how we do it. And basically, I think the real evolution here is getting beyond the old polarities and getting into the better ones, like, you know, definitely knowing the difference between a unified consciousness and a separation. I actually said something to my younger sister about, you know, nationalism is becoming, I'm beginning to see it as a form of abuse against humanity. And if you take a look at it, it truly is. Well,
I agree.
You know, I'm like John friggin' Lennon, man. I'm a dreamer. But that is the path I chose many years ago. And I haven't veered off of it, and certainly activists.
Thank God.
Well, for me, you know,
it's most important job ever, being the dreamer. Come on.
And you know what? Some of us do step to the beat of a different drum, but I think people are being pulsed right now to step to the beat of a different drum that is their own beat. You know, not the beat of the corporation or the power above you. It's time to ask the right questions, you know. And it has everything to do with the spiritual expression of a person or a culture.
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You know, anybody who's backing away, I have to hand it to Deepak Chopra. He's doing a series of videos on the spiritual nature of the vastly changing scape of government right now. And he's very supportive of the current president and looking at things from a very nuts and bolts. We do this one step at a time, and, you know, possibility for ascension is there, but we do it by rolling up our sleeves. Well, I do the same thing. I just am a radical as far as politics go, you know. I've come to understand.
It reminds me of a Doctor Who that I watched the other night when Amy, the chick on it, is talking about why you love someone. And she says that there are people that are attractive, and then they say whatever they say, whatever, you love them or you don't. But there are other people, you go, okay, they're cool, and then their personality, their face becomes their personality. And when that happens, they're beautiful. They become something else. And I was like, wow, that's exactly, wouldn't that be wonderful if when we all realize that just being ourselves, whatever that is, with any kind of quirk or tick or anything that we are, is just a wonderful expression of what we are. And have that be the most important thing for the government to make sure that it's secure.
That is your right. And we've all bought this fairy tale from, you know, gosh, my family gave it to me with all good heart, but it was a fairy tale, this American dream thing. I would say, though, that, you know, and when people, you talk with folks who've never experienced, you know, a group or unified consciousness, I always like to bring up some kind of experience I know they might have had where I could point to it and say, well, that's unified consciousness. And my favorite one is I went to see with my sister and Tracy years ago, I went to see Paul McCartney at the Orange Bowl in Florida here. Elroy, there's a black cat out there trying to tell my dog it's his yard now. I'm sorry. Kitchen productions here, folks. No, unified consciousness. I went and I saw, there was probably 20,000 people in in the Orange Bowl to see this concert. Have you ever seen or been with 20,000 people all singing the same song?
Oh, it's one of the most moving things.
Yeah. 20,000 people singing Love, Love Me Do, you know.
Wow, wow,
it's
amazing.
It's a spiritual experience, and
yeah.
It's a form of unified consciousness. And if you can bring that example to folks, then, you know, they stop and they ponder the notion. It's not like everybody is running around saying, well, you know, you have to get with the program and be, you know, under the guru or something. No, it's about being yourself. It's about being your own guide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It sure is. And that's a big enough job, really. I mean, it's funny. You think you know yourself, and then you go, oh, okay, now I know myself. And then you're like, oh, okay, so now I know myself. And it's very clear that never stops. and why should it? You know, isn't that part of the fun?
Well, and they call it, I think that it's been often called Christ consciousness because so many people might be able to tap into the idea of that Christ, you know, awareness or that ascended energy. And for my part, I try to walk away a bit from that and put it in a more, I like unified consciousness. I talk in a broader term, and I try not to be too, how can I put this, Abrahamic? Is that good?
Absolutely. Well, I went to my cousin's wedding, and there was a lot of Jesus talk in there. And it felt like propaganda to me. And it's like, you know, bring Jesus into your marriage, bring him into the heart and this. Jesus will do this. He's going to be next to you on that. And I was just like, what's going on? And I realized that really the conclusion that I would like to believe is that Christ is a symbol of love and an example of how that happens. Like, just thinking love, it's still just a concept. So to see it in motion in a lifetime of 33 years and the teachings that came out of that, I think that's why it's, you know, Christ is important. But it's just that the word Christ has been so, you know, whateverified by so many things that we have that reaction, because I questioned myself a lot about what that reaction was.
Well, it's as it generally is. You know, most of the people who have I don't know how to put this, who've chosen a secular life with a church or an established religion, I would say at least 70% or high 60s% of these people are good folks. They're actually, a lot of them are what I call light workers. I've
yep.
known none that were real light workers. But the doctrine, you know, of they accept certain ceilings, if you will. Here you're supposed to be reaching for heaven, but in these religions you're given a ceiling, and you may not rise above that ceiling. There is no questioning the misogynist authority of, you know, Father God type of thing. I've always thought, of course, that we're evolving beyond that, putting our power, our personal power, outside of ourselves. But, you know, it's, I think, too, we forget that it was always the grandfather and grandmother or sage and crone aspect of elders teaching youngers, you know, in the as far back as the clans and the tribes, that, you know, some point of authority will give them something to hold on to together. And it's evolved into an abuse of authority, and it's used to, you know, basically prioritize your money and
control and condemn.
Yeah, it's a social tool for control. And
yeah.
Right now, I think we're watching it dissolve in front of us with all of what's going on, especially the monotheism, the Abrahamic religions, the Islam, the Judaism, and, oh, for crying
and the
out
fight.
Loud, Christianity.
Yeah, and the fight in the name of Jesus or in the name of, you know, like, enough of that already. You know, like, fight in the name of Jesus already is duality. It's already missing the point. Like,
and all
wrong
of,
answer.
Yeah, and all of these folks, I hear people talk. I heard my neighbor, who's a real nice guy across the street, who, you know, goes out. He's retired now. He takes his boat out fishing twice a week if he can afford the gas, and he brings dolphin back and shares it with neighbors. And he's really... When I say dolphin, I mean mahi-mahi, you know what I mean? Anyways,
yeah.
I don't want to get calls, people, about
coitus. Yeah, clarify.
But here's the thing. You know, he's a fellow who will, you know, he ain't Jesus'd up or anything like that. But if you were to ask him what he, you know, the ladies were talking on the street about, God, isn't it terrible what's happening in all of these Middle Eastern countries? Well, none of them are plugged into the social networks. And, you know, Facebook isn't the only one. There's Twitter, there's Tumblr, there's, you know, there's just so many. There's Google. And
but if you're not on one, you're not on the others.
Yeah. All through them, while all of this has been going on, there have been plenty of contrary pictures of people holding signs saying, you know, America, in the streets of Libya and Egypt and Bahrain, and, you know, with pictures saying, America, we are not, we do not mean anything bad to you. This was not the Libyan people. This was just and of course now it comes out it was, you know, Al-Qaeda group in there that went in and did such horrifying things to our diplomats. But, you know, via this planetary consciousness we call the net, we are connecting with people in Iran, people in Libya, people in Greece. I mean, those people who were on the streets in Athens are on Facebook, you know, belting out with Occupy groups all over the place what was going on. I mean, we're in connection with each other. And this is unifying consciousness, you know, saying that, hey, we've had it. Have you had it? Yeah, we've had it. Well, hell yes, man. Let's pick them up and lay them down and get it changed. We're the power. We are the power. And one of the biggest ways we learn that we're the power is not really the experience of being in the streets, from my point of view, I should say. It's one of the huge ways is because we accept responsibility for ourselves, body, mind, and spirit. You know, there ain't no motherfucker in the sky gonna tell me which way I'm wagging, especially when I become pure energy at the point of transformation. You know? I bet you I'm the baddest bitch on the block up there. I'm kidding. I didn't catch hell from 50 guides tonight, but the point, I'm being extravagant. I'm exaggerating the point because I would like for folks to know, and I love it when we have these little, you know, Nick Gwen confabs. People do write about it. It's like,
they got things
like,
to say. That's good.
With a wink and a nod, I want to send a very special thank you out there to our chat room this evening. I noticed that P. Nolan is in there from New York City, our wonderful teacher, Tricia Poole, and Also, I'm looking at a name there, and the name is Dolores Donahue, my great friend Dee, that was my bestest pal in Massachusetts, and
oh,
I miss her awful. I wish she was on the phone with us. Of course, her family, she married Greek, and her family thereby are a lot of Greeks, and so I'm imagining that Dee has been keeping a pretty stark eye on what's been going on over there.
Right.
I don't know for sure, but I would bet.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
So plug your stuff, Gwen.
Huh?
Plug your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, that's right. We're at the top of the hour. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
see what we
do. We've been yapping.
Just yapping. We do have a guest next week. And what about Maggie? We're going to have our witchling back with us soon, yes?
Yes, very soon. As soon as we can schedule her in, she's very excited. But she had movie night with Grandma tonight, so she wouldn't have been able to make it. So, soon.
She's wonderful. She's a breath of fresh air. Yes, folks, please know that daughtersofisis.com is open for business. Why don't I just play you our little commercial?
Cool.
Hi, this is Gwen. No doubt you're listening to me and Nicole or myself and Jack do a show right now, but I want to talk to you about one of the producers of the show, and that's Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Aromacology. On August 15th, you'll be able to find daughtersofisis.com up on the internet with all our bottles there for you to look through, peruse. There'll be videos from folks who have worked with it, from myself, telling you how, what, where, who, when, with all the bottles we create. That's August 15th, daughtersofisis.com. And don't forget the I Love Nicole show on YouTube. Thank you for listening. We're glad to have you hear us. And as always, remember, you can always join us. Give us a ring. Okay. Back to the show.
Nice.
Okay.
Well done.
I'm learning and garage music, but I will get there. One day I'll get there. It'll
be
perfect.
You're doing really well, Gwen. You really are. You are quite the engineer on the other side of the show. I want to give big props to you. and I want everyone to also check out the website, ilovenicoleshow.com. And I'm going to start blogging some more and hopefully get the next show up with Asa very soon. So, ilovenicoleshow.com. That's the place to go.
Hey, Nick, thanks a lot, as usual. And tonight, folks, please remember I'm on Akashic Temple Live right here on Blog Talk Radio with Ruthann Amafateo and Amartafio. And the crew over there, and we'll be back on Sunday with the Sunday show.
Cool.
And Nick, anything else?
That's it. Great time. I enjoyed the conversation very much. Thanks.
I did too. And great thanks to our listeners. We really appreciate you. Come back and see us next week. Yeah,
absolutely.
They can see us. All they got to do is open the third eye.
That's right. Good night.
Okay. Oh, we're out of time, darling.
Yeah.
Good night, all. This has been The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwendolyn Berry. Good night.
Good night. Good night, y'all.